Freaky Crew Podcast. I'm your host, Mime Freak.
What?
I thought I put a muzzle on you. Get back in that closet. I had to put a ball gag in this guy's mouth to get him to shut up. Today, I am hosting Veruca James, and I'm going to be interviewing the In the Closet host, Mime Freak.
Hold on.
I don't mean in the closet like gay. I mean in the closet like there's no other way to get you to shut up for 2 seconds so I can talk.
Well, like, is he going to come out? I knew he was gay. I knew it.
He's a little gay.
He's happy. He's happy.
We are sponsored by Julieland.com, and I'm also joined by the also lovely, Mr. Avery.
Yo.
Get your ass out this closet.
This closet's awfully tight. Somebody's going to have to get out. Somebody's going to have to come out of the closet out of the three of us. It ain't going to be me.
We are live from a very, very small closet here. It's very fucking hot. I'm sweating. I'm going to have to stick my whole foot in mine's mouth here because it's just getting too crowded. All right.
I know, gang.
Today, we're talking about the mime life. What is the mime life?
What the fuck does that mean?
That's the
exactly.
It's like to be or not to be.
The mime life.
To mime life or not to mime
life. So is it like the day in the life or my life, the history of me, past, future, present?
This is the all-encompassing who and what. Like, what is mime life? Like, how do you, is this a motto you live by?
Is this the mime freak?
You know what? The motto is the man behind the mask. Because, you know, with the mask, the mime is behind the mask. Face paint. Now, my face paint ain't like the regular motherfuckers because them motherfuckers be looking silly out there.
Yours is more like drag queenie purple.
So you get to do white face.
What's up with all the gay shit? The closet, the drag queenie. God damn.
So do I need to do blackface in order to embrace the mime life?
No, not at all.
I can do white face?
I wouldn't even know what type of face to present. It's just a mask. Just a mask. The mime is, it shows this artwork. You know, I love to not have the limelight on me, so to speak. My goal is to spread the limelight to others who feel that they're unworthy of it. That, like, the fans, for instance, with me starting the Freaky Crew, a lot of the fans have voices. And now, back when you were watching porno, you had VHS, right?
What's that?
Oh, shit. Nah, you had fucking...
movie theaters.
Right. The thing is they didn't get, after you finished jacking off and you had a paper towel or whatever, a Kleenex or whatever, your shirt.
Newspaper.
Right. They didn't give you a form to say, well, tell us your experience of it. Yeah. Tell what did we do wrong? What did you do right?
Yeah.
So the fans for so many years felt like they didn't have any importance.
A voice.
And right, a voice or anything. I'm like, man, you guys are wrong. You guys are wrong. And hey, every fan that's a part of the Freaky Crew is family. And, you know, it's like a sorority house. We have the cool chicks. We had a dude kicked his ass out. You know, talk about that. Motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to hear that story.
Yeah, yeah. But we're the cool kids. And if you want to sit with us, be nice. Spread positive vibes. But if you have something negative to say, you can DM me, ask questions, and get your frustration out. But if you're a part of the Freaky Crew, you don't lash out. But when it comes to me, I'm just the average kid, man.
Where'd you grow up?
Compton in South Central Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Hard. Gangbang. Fucking. I was exposed to so much shit as a kid. It was just.
Were you in a gang?
Look, man, don't be asking me about my gang affiliations and shit. You just never know who could be listening to this shit. You know what I'm saying? I will say what everybody says that...
I was in a gang.
Yeah, whatever, man. Back in the day, I used to break dance and smoke weed. Like,
no, we didn't even do that.
Out, fucking Kangol hats
we
and shit.
We just cruised around in lowriders.
I was in 4-H. Is that like a gang?
Yes, it was.
It's crazy. I'm affiliated. Yes, I'm affiliated. By birth. You know, sometimes you get born into the shit. So I do have people on standby in case of emergency. I pick up my phone call and there it goes. But, you know, that's just part of the environment.
Right.
Like, either you're with us or against us. If you're against us, that means you're LAPD or something like that. Yeah. Actually, my uncle is LAPD. As funny as that sounds, you know,
really?
when he became LAPD, he stopped coming around because, you know what I'm saying? He was like, motherfuckers, criminals. But yeah. I never went out there and was a full-blown gangster, so to speak. Like, that's not my style. I was more scared of the biggest gangster in the hood, which is my mom.
She was badass.
Nah, she pretty much had all the niggas in the neighborhood spooked. Yeah. Straight up, like, we couldn't even hang out with her. Like, hey, man, you need to take your ass on. Your mama gonna be coming. She can't.
Yeah.
Because my mom, she, you know, she got her side, and she pretty much would have domino parties and all that shit just to show people who we affiliated with.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a difference between Inglewood niggas and Compton niggas and Watts niggas and L.A. and Jungles. And, you know, my people's just from Compton. They used to come over with their blue rags. I just told y'all the color. and they Compton hats. And people didn't want to fuck with us. Like, they already knew. They already knew. One time, we had some young kids. They wanted to. We was affiliated with some shit, and some shit went down. They brought it to the house. So, you know, I'm 14 at the time. I grab a butcher knife. They thought that shit was funny. You know, you guys. But I was getting ready to, you know, cut some people. They didn't know my mom. So my next door neighbor, he knows my mom, and he pop up out of work, and it's like about 15 individuals out in front of the house. So he goes, "What the fuck is going on?" And my mom was yelling like, "These motherfucking kids in front of my house talking shit, da-da-da-da-da." Not one more question asked. He went inside the house, grabbed an AK-47, extended clip. And I've never seen no shit. This was before Modern Warfare and all these fucking video games now where you can see guns in video games. But first time I ever seen an AK was right there, smack dead, and he was getting ready to let off. I've never seen people. It was like, you know, everybody had roaches. Roaches with the lights on.
Yeah, I know.
That nigga's AK turned that lights on and scattered.
Yeah.
Scattered.
All out of respect for your mom and your family?
Yeah, you don't bring shit to the house. Like, catch me in the streets, homie. They know the rules. So after that, I was like, this shit's serious. Like, my mom is like, she could do.
What would you say is the one or two, three maybe things that you learned from your mom growing up?
Respect. Respect, work hard, and never settle.
Yeah.
You know, my mom is my queen. She's my best friend.
Yeah.
For her to raise five boys on one income in Los Angeles, California, is the murder cap.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about motherfuckers dying every day.
Yeah.
Are all your brothers still alive?
Yeah. We all made it out.
Five boys all made it out.
We all made it out. Yeah. One's in Vegas. One's in Chino. I'm here. One's in North Dakota, somewhere. I don't know what the fuck he doing up there. Job Corps, and one's in Boston. We all made it out. None of us never been shot. Two out of five of us been to jail. Nah, three. Three out of five has been to jail. Wait, four. Four out of five of us been to jail, but...
But that was just visiting somebody.
I've been locked up. But when it comes to my mom is my best friend. I can call her. She made sure that she wasn't raising no punk ass men is what she said it. I don't want no girls complaining. So if you tell me, Veruca, if you was to tell me my flow is heavy and I need something to help me out, most motherfuckers be like, fuck you mean your flow heavy? They'd be oh, you want to rap? Like, oh, you freestyle? Your shit heavy? They wouldn't even know. They wouldn't know that you need pads that are, you know, that can handle that.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So from my mom just schooled me, like, you know, I can take your bra off with one hand. And I learned it and from
your
mom.
Your mom will tell you that.
Not as sick as you motherfuckers is thinking. This is the freaky podcast show, but this is not that. My mom would always, she had bad acne on her back, so she would want me to put her medication. So she said, can you rub my back for me? I said, cool, no problem. So over time, it went from doing the two hands to saying, okay, mom, I got you. Pop. And that's it. So motherfuckers was like, oh, you motherfucking player. Nah, my mama taught me this. Don't laugh. Don't make fun. But yeah, she taught me a lot of shit. The reason why I work hard and how I don't give up and stay positive and keep my head up. It's because of my mom.
Now, what did you want to be when you were growing up?
You really want to know?
Yeah, seriously. When you were in high school.
I want to be in some type of service. I want to be a police officer, army, firefighter, anything with the service. And it wasn't necessarily with me wanting to be a law enforcement. I just want to help people. I knew what was going on in the hood, and I got a feeling that...
Were you there for the riots?
I was in the motherfucking riots,
though. No, how old were you then? That's 90... What is that, 94? No, 93.
Shit, you're going to make 93? Me do math.
I know, I have to figure it out.
Math. I was young, but I was there.
I was there.
I almost got fucking caught in a liquor store when they were setting it on fire.
Fuck.
But it was a good thing because it was everybody's favorite market. And it was because of me that they didn't set it ablaze because I was still in there. Mm. My stepfather said, get some toilet paper. So he said, get what you want, but make sure you bring home some toilet paper. So who I am,
I got my pineapple soda.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Okay, we need some wipes, some toilet paper.
Right.
Don't forget the Crisco.
So I was in there, and I grabbed pineapple soda for me. Because I'm like, Mama, I can get anything. She go, yeah. I'm like, yes. She grabbing all types of shit. I'm thinking soda, pineapple soda, the 3 liters. Grab one of those, and I ran back in, and she goes, where are you going? I said, I gotta get toilet paper. And they didn't set it on fire because my mom said, don't set it on fire. My son in there, you're getting something. And then by that time, the cops came and we scattered.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fucking riots was the shit.
I was right in the middle of it.
Yeah, we seen like one of the stores blow up.
Oh, I had.
That shit was fun.
It was crazy. I always tell people, like, by the second day when it was a full blown, I was standing on the top of my roof here, 2 doors down.
Looking at fires. Flyers.
It literally looked like we just got bombed. 360 degrees.
Everywhere.
I was driving home the second day from Santa Monica, trying to get from Santa Monica home.
No, good luck with that shit.
Yeah, I was stuck on the Sunset Boulevard for 2 hours, been bumper to bumper. But then finally when I got down, I'm coming down Melrose here, you know, like Bay Bat.
Right.
I'm going down like this, and this car full of kids is coming right at me, and this guy does a U-ey in front of me. The passenger comes out with this nice silver gun. They try to stop me, points right at me. God. I'm going like this, and I'm just going, fuck! And so I just zoomed around him. They followed me for blocks, so I didn't come straight home. So they followed me, and I had to lose them like down on Beverly. They started following me. Finally lost them. Then I came home, and then was like, and then my neighbor here, we were like, holy fuck. So we go to the roof, we start watching, and you know my Bank of America here?
Right.
We're sitting on the roof, and this guy, some idiot, I don't know what he was thinking, goes to the bank machine and trying to get $20 out or whatever. Another totally jacked. And we're just sitting there going, what the fuck is going on here? Because I always tell you the biggest difference, the biggest thing I found out about that, and you probably saw this too, during an earthquake, like everybody's like, are you okay? Can we help you? What's wrong?
Right.
During the riots, it was like, fuck you, man. All for one and all for one.
That shit,
there was like, no, you're on your own. Like the look on everybody's face for the 2-3 days. And then I had to do a shoot like 4 days later in Venice. Man. And there was army everywhere, military.
Nah, it was National Guards everywhere. Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to be the guy in the uniform when I finally...
Then you woke up.
No, my mom kicked me out the house when I was 17. I said, fuck it, I'm going to just go to the army and take the test.
Yeah.
And just get the fuck out of here. And I went. And that was 99. So I've always watched the news every day since I was a little kid. So I knew a war was coming.
Yeah.
I knew that dirt was... At that age, I already knew. So I took the test, and I didn't go back for the results. And I said, fuck this. And then I tried to go to LAPD. They said, well, since, you know, you have people that are in your family that's in jail, it'd be a longer process. Fuck that. Went to the feds. Took a test for them. Same thing. So I said, fuck it. I'm going to just work. I got into the mortgage industry.
And so you had somebody who's legitimately wanting to help people and join the forces in LA, and they all just turn you down.
Right. No, it wasn't like they turned me down directly, but it was because of my family and who was in my family, who I was affiliated with. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I was on fucking the gang shit. You know what I mean? I never made it that far. But there was pictures of me in the police station being affiliated. Because they took pictures of everybody in the hood that was hanging out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I could be hanging out with y'all. They'll pop up, click, click. Okay, then you're part of a fucking gang on this wall because you're on the street.
Exactly.
So, you know.
I was just going to McDonald's.
The fuck? It was funny, man. They just rolled up on you and took a Polaroid of you and looked at the Polaroid to see if it was cool and drove off.
Yeah.
That's how it was. White people did that shit. You know, it was like, you know how people say, the man is watching. I didn't experience that shit until, you know, a fucking Polaroid came out. Yeah. They look at you and they, shit.
Oh, God. You're bringing back lots of memories. Now, what about, like, we know your story about working at Bed Bath & Beyond, getting into porn.
Hey, man, don't make fun of that. You know what I'm saying?
I'm mad shit. Because I
can sell you a cool-ass duvet set.
Yeah, but, you know.
You don't know the thread count.
I would
shit's upstairs to tell you that.
Yeah, but I really would have thought you were cool if you were working at Nordstrom's, but. Okay, that's all.
Nah, man.
I worked at Nordstrom's.
The better MILFs work at, I mean, that they're coming in Bed Bath & Beyond. Trust me. You will get more pussy at Bed Bath & Beyond than Nordstrom. Trust me. Okay. We can have a competition. We can go sit cameras in that motherfucking bag. Look at this shit. Because the chicks in fucking Nordstrom, you can't afford to have them anyway because they shopping there. You know, I can get 30% coupons to a chick working at Bed Bath & Beyond all day long. You know, they'll love me for that shit.
That's so true.
Where does, what would you say your philosophy for life is? Your motto is your creed, your, how you get one shot at this life. What's your goals? What are you going to do?
Well, me, I'm going to just keep doing cool shit until I can't anymore. I can't tell you, I want to be a photographer, or I want to be a phonographer, or I want to do this. It changes with the days. I don't have long-term goals, so to speak. Like, I find one thing that I love, and, you know, I dedicate myself to that. You know what I mean? It's not, I can't set it up. Like, I have so many fucking ideas. I have an idea that can change porn. I have an idea that can help this country. And it's about finding the lawyers that can copyright all this shit so I won't get sued. Because I know, seriously. Like,
I know.
If the federal government, if I was to design a program for them, they wouldn't allow me to be rich off the shit. I wouldn't even want to be rich off of it. Mm. I would design this program because there's something that the United States is lacking, and it's something that we have. What I can say, it's not. There's an untapped source that can fulfill something that's going to keep this country afloat longer than the way it's going, so to speak, if that makes sense.
This is very vague.
And if I was to tell you this and sketch it out, I told Tori Black about it. And
you'd have to kill us.
Right. Because if you took this idea, $500 million right away.
Yeah.
$500 million. Because that's how my mind thinks. Like, I've been into this shit since I was a kid. So there's something that taxpayers are paying for that's being forgotten about that we can utilize to help this country.
Right.
So if you can think about that, you're like, damn, what the fuck is he talking about? But if I was to put all my energy in that, I would have to get the lawyers, and I would have to have the money to have that, and I can use part of this industry to get to that. And I have very powerful people that I've met actually in the feds when I was locked up. I have very important people that I can call and that I can get in contact with and say, hey, this is the plan, but I have to have money first.
Yeah.
So
is that an exit strategy or
money,
just a different?
Money talks, bullshit runs the marathon.
Yeah, no, bullshit runs America.
runs the marathon. I'm quoting Mr. Nico Brown.
See, I don't even know about that, dog. You know what I'm saying?
New Jack
City. Quotes of Mr. Rogers or fucking
New Jack
old
City.
Boy off a month. Yeah, I didn't catch that. You know, that doesn't have nothing like Rock-a-bye, baby. Come on, you gotta go like there. Getting back to you, exit strategy? Nah, because you know what? Even if I had a couple of things, what I do have coming up, I would still like to be affiliated with this porn because so many people need guidance and help to fulfill their fantasies in this industry.
Yeah.
And I love to help people. So, you know, I don't want to say that I'll be around for life, you know, but I want to be one of the guys to say, well, he's helped my career. You know what I mean?
He made me what I am today. Poor.
Slut that fucked me for a box cover.
Exactly. Poor. It's like poor, crazy, and.
Right.
And, you know, that's the thing.
Nah, but I love this industry. This industry is cool. It's just so cliche. It's a
How long you been
club.
In it?
It's going to be 10 years next year.
Wow.
10 years. And I remember meeting Chris Streams just yesterday.
Okay, so what's the high low? What's the high so far in the 10 years and what's the low in the 10 years?
The high is finally being able to have something that people want to see. To what I feel is to get a little bit respect from the elites in this industry. I had people call me and say, hey, man, what you're doing is, you know, wonderful. What you're doing is new. It's fresh. It brings a different type of energy. And I don't like to call people out, But there are some people that's actually using my formula to try to get a buzz, to get a media, you know, a social media appearance on it. But when it comes to the low, just looking at people, and they thought that just because I was a production assistant that I was just going to be wiping cum up and cleaning oil floors for the rest of my fucking career. Like, I didn't have talent. And another low was having people that knew I had talent not give me my own shot.
Yeah.
You know, they were using me for their personal personal vendettas that they had against other people, and using me and underpaying me. And now, and it feels good to, I hire people purposely that I would never fucking hire just to say, I wrote you a check. I wrote you a check, and fuck you, because you knew what I was worth. You knew what I was able to do, and you never gave me a shot. So fuck
Is that
you.
Why you have such a soft spot in your heart for underrated performers?
Yes.
Because you, you've been there. You know the struggle.
I've done everything in this business except for be an agent. I've been a performer. I understand that side a little bit. I've been a production assistant, a production manager, a cameraman, a videographer, a personal assistant, to where I ran a person's company, and I would analyze and get people to save money and, you know, help people out. And it was like, okay, where was all those people that were going to help me out now, you know?
What's your most embarrassing moment on a in porn?
Oh, man.
I'm sure there's a lot to choose from.
No, it's not. Nothing ever happened to me that was embarrassing.
What about that scene you shot?
Performer, a scene you shot or something you just saw and went, whoa.
Actually, no. As a performer, no, it's been some funny shit. The most embarrassing, it was when I was a performer, my ex-girlfriend called me right before a scene. And she goes, well, you're getting ready to go to work, so you make sure that you don't bring your stinky balls around me. And I think she said something that really fucked with me. So here I am getting ready to show up fucking Mike McCormick. And, you know, I'm trying to get my dick hard, and it just would not get hard. I took all of Viagra. I'm trying. I'm just sitting there like, this bitch. Because she didn't like my job at the time. And I'm like, hey, we was working on trying to get back together. And she just put my dick in the dirt. And
she got in your head.
No. Mike McCormick got in my head. She said, go ahead and get that little thing up. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have a big cock, dog. But damn, did you just make fun of my dick in front of this girl that I'm supposed to fuck? And I'm like, thanks, Mike. Never doing this shit again. Doing blowjob videos for the rest of forever.
Yeah.
You know, but that was my most embarrassing
That's a
moment.
Good one.
Fuck you, McCormick.
May you rot in hell.
All right, so where can we find you?
This a bitch.
Across the table.
Locked in my closet.
Your fucking closet. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Mime Freak. I ain't spelling this shit for you. Fuck it. If you don't know how to spell, that's your problem, not mine. And where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram
in your closet.
And Twitter. In front of the closet, that is. Hand on the handle. It's at Veruca James on all social media. Thank you for listening to the Freaky Crew Podcast.
And bitch, we out.